welcome to another episode of the Brick House Podcast Summer Slam Edition. Wow. I'm Bob Johnson.
And I'm Matt Baker. I wasn't looking forward to this episode at all until it was dubbed Summer Slam Edition.
Well, yeah, there was some news in the NBA this week. In August, Matt.
Man.
Big news. I'm sure you heard about it.
Of course.
The biggest story of the week was Stuff the Magic Dragon of the Orlando Magic won the Mascot of the Year award.
The coveted Mascot of the Year award.
We can't bury the lead. They've been giving away this award since 2005, and Stuff is the 10th ever winner. Previous winners include Bulls, Benny the Bull, who's retiring this year.
Really?
Actually. The guy inside Benny the Bull. I think it's going to be Lenny now.
Yeah.
The Spurs googly-eyed coyote has won before, and you know the only ever two-time winner of the Mascot of the Year award?
Who's that?
Clutch the Bear, Houston Rockets.
Wow.
He's pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
I've seen him in person.
Has my guy, the Gorilla, won yet?
The Gorilla? I assume so. It's like the best dunker of anybody.
He was really the one that got the dunk party going, I think, right?
Yeah. Turbo in Houston followed. He was just like a guy in a spandex suit. He was even before Green Man of
the Hornets.
It's Sunny in Philadelphia fame.
Right. The Gorilla has not won yet.
Yet.
Maybe at one point they'll just give him the Lifetime Achievement Mascot Award.
You know, as soon as I saw Stuff spinning in circles on a hoverboard while Aaron Gordon dunked over him, you know it was in the bag for
yeah.
Stuff.
I mean,
some other big news of the week is Russell Westbrook has signed an extension
with
the Oklahoma City Thunder, second to the Stuff news, of course.
The Magic Dragon extension is going to be pretty great, I would imagine, too, once it comes around for him to sign a new contract.
The possibility of Westbrook signing a three-year extension really only came up in the past couple of days before. I mean, everyone thought it was either going to be they lock him down for 5 years or they trade him because he won't agree to a five-year extension. But this third option of signing a three-year deal with an opt-out on the third year, renegotiating this year. So he was already under contract for one more year,
right?
Going to expire this summer.
Kind of like what they did with Harden.
Right, yeah, they tore up the deal they had for this year, gave him an extra $8 million for this year, added on one more year where he is, you know, has to play there, and then the third year he gets to decide. Of course, if he were to re-up after these 2 years, it'll make him 10 years in the league, which enables him to get 35% of the salary cap as opposed to 30%. So in 2018, if he were to sign a new five-year deal, it would set a record as it would be worth approximately $204
million. $204.
For a five-year deal.
Okay. Yeah, so it's basically a one-year extension, right?
One more than he already had, right.
Best part about this for me is, a mere 2 hours before it was reported he signed it, you texted me, maybe we should prep a segment for five best places and three worst places for Westbrook to sign. And I think before I even saw your text, you had also texted me, never mind.
And Woj ruined everything.
Yeah.
From today's fastbreak.com, I saw some stats from Westbrook over the past two seasons without Kevin Durant on the floor. Okay, so per 40 minutes without KD the last 2 years, these are Westbrook's numbers. We might want to just go ahead and put a bet down for him for MVP this coming year. 35.3 points, 9 rebounds, and 10.6 assists in 2,328 minutes without Durant in the past 2 years.
Jeez, that might not even be a good bet to place because the return won't be worth the risk on that.
Right. Throw in that this week, Michael Jordan also said Westbrook is the closest player to him.
Ooh.
And also said that Blake Griffin should star in Space Jam 2.
Yeah.
No coincidence, of course, that both Westbrook and Blake Griffin are Jordan brand players.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Probably no significance.
No, none at all.
Just yesterday, the U.S. basketball team played its first game against China, winning by 785. it prompted me to...
Wait, what'd you say? 700? Yeah, okay.
You saw the game.
Yeah. 785.
Prompted me to revisit the 2004 basketball team. Or Mads dug deep to explain to our listeners how we got here. 12 years later, we have won 69 games in a row now as a country and basketball team and men's team. But in 2004, what did we get? The bronze medal? Argentina won gold with Scola and Ginobili.
The team
was so bad, just like the 76ers, they brought in Jerry Colangelo to fix things 12 years ago.
He's the fixer. He's the guy who, if you get in a bind, because I remember watching all these games, and Bob, I think we've talked about it before, like the early 2000s basketball watching for you, like this is, 04 was when you were probably starting to get back into
basketball. Yeah, it was kind of the dark ages, yeah.
Yeah. So I remember I would watch all these games. I worked at a sports shop with my friends, my brothers, and we'd watch these games just wondering what was going on. 9 of the 12 players who won the America's Championship the year before didn't play in the Olympics. Hmm. And the average age of the team that year was 23.75 years old.
Right. Yeah, they had LeBron and Carmelo.
LeBron, Carmelo, Wade.
And Larry Brown played Boozer. None of them.
Well, that's the thing. That's what it shocked me, that the whole thing kind of hinged on Larry Brown. Because he refused to play the young guys.
Mm-hmm.
I picked Carmelo and LeBron. And I was looking at their stats through the games.
Okay.
So the first game they played, they lost to Puerto Rico by 19.
What?
Yeah.
Puerto Rico?
Yeah, Carlos Arroyo was on that team, and everyone thought he was going to be the next legend of the NBA. But in that game, Carmelo had played 3 minutes, 0 points. LeBron, 13 minutes, 5 points. Carmelo actually went scoreless in the first three games they played. The next two, they beat Greece, and they beat Australia. He played 5 minutes against Greece, 2 minutes against Australia. At least LeBron was getting minutes. He played 11 minutes and 18 minutes, but still, in the semifinal loss to Argentina, Carmelo had a DNP. He didn't play at all, and LeBron played 3 minutes.
What do you think Grandpa Colangelo had to say about the NBA players who were caught in a brothel in Rio de Janeiro this weekend, Matt?
Well, if they bring back that gold, I think he'll let him go to any brothel they want. Where was 2004? That was in Athens. I guess they probably had some old school.
Maybe so. The story here was DeAndre Jordan, DeMarcus Cousins, and DeMar DeRozan were spotted at Termas Monte Carlo.
Oh, yeah.
It's a high-end brothel in Rio. They said that they made a mistake and thought that they were going to a men's-only spa.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That just takes reservations, and it's for men only, just to drink and get massages. There was a mix-up. They don't speak Portuguese.
Yeah.
This is the problem. DeAndre only speaks Spanish.
Well, I was going to say, I think they thought Spanish was the national language of Brazil.
You know, some other news came out this week. Kevin Garnett, if he plays in another NBA season, will be the longest tenured player ever. Beating out Robert Parrish's 21 years in the league.
Wow.
This would be Garnett's 22nd season if he decides
That's
to come
insane.
Back.
That's insane.
But Sam Mitchell, who coached the Timberwolves last season and was fired to make room for Tom Thibodeau this summer, he says Kevin Garnett may not return because Sam Mitchell got fired last year.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, they're friends. They played together when Garnett was a youngster, first joining the Timberwolves.
Right.
But I don't think he's clinging to Sam Mitchell. I mean, Garnett might be the future owner of the Timberwolves. You know, I don't think he's making this decision whether or not the worst coach in the NBA is coaching the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Do you think he's making his decision based on those 5-a-day practices that Thibodeau runs and the forcing everyone to
maybe so.
No off days?
That would make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
I watched the basketball tournament, the championship game this past week. It's a $2 million winner-take-all tournament that we've mentioned before on the pod. Lots of former NBA players made up these rosters, although none in the championship game. I thought it was really funny while watching, with $2 million on the line, right? $2 million goes to the winner, $0 goes to the loser after this 5-week tournament or however long it was.
Mm-hmm.
the stakes were so high and it was being aired on ESPN. If I had to bet, I think about 3% of the entire broadcast was muted out. And I assume just because every loose ball, every foul call, every missed shot was followed with a string of expletives.
Yeah.
That ESPN had to keep censoring out.
Well, that's what we did.
We'll take you to the huddle here, Jim. And
yeah. did we talk about this before? Was it you watching who said that the guy had to keep apologizing because it's real basketball and this is how played?
Well, they had the first round of the tournament on Facebook live stream.
Right.
That didn't have the 7-second delay with some, you know, professional there worried about FCC violations editing out every F-bomb.
Right.
But man, what an exciting tournament. I heard the guy who started the tournament had envisioned that he wanted the tournament to be for $50 million.
Whoa, okay.
And this is only the third year, but it has doubled in prize money each year so far, starting with $500,000 two years ago.
If they keep getting those Jack Link's beef jerky sponsorships, that's crazy. I hope I would. Yeah, maybe the NBA is slowly going to be replaced by these month-long winner-take-all tournaments.
We should start the Brick House tournament.
Yeah.
You win a fabulous trucker hat.
I've got $50, so how much we can raise based off that.
Some other stuff that's starting to come out over the summer are motivations for why free agents went where they went.
Yeah.
And in the case of LeBron James, his motivation overall, he already came out after the championship and said that, you know, some people that he didn't want to name said that he was making the biggest mistake of his career by deciding to leave Miami.
Sure.
It was obviously Pat Riley that said this. But at a summer basketball camp where he was watching, for the first time, he rewatched the last few minutes of Game 7 with his summer campers.
Yeah.
And he's breaking down the game and pausing it and telling them what's going through his head at certain times. After the viewing, of which, you know, he said he was very much in suspense, even though he was there and he knows that they won the game.
Yeah.
One of his campers asked him what LeBron James' motivation is these days. He's won 3 championships now. He's won, 4 or 5 MVPs. He's the greatest player of his generation.
Yeah.
LeBron's answer, my motivation is this ghost I'm chasing. The ghost played in Chicago.
Ooh.
Again, not naming names, but making it pretty fucking obvious who he's talking about.
Dennis Rodman.
The quote continues, when he left his summer camp, kind of he's backstage now, he's with reporters, he's with his agents, he's with his friends, and he says, why do I feel I'm about to go into therapy? And he's told, because you started talking about ghosts.
do we think Jordan heard that, and then that's when he made the Westbrook comment?
Probably
and,
so.
Blake Griffin should star in Space Jam 2.
Probably so. Yeah. LeBron has been teased by Michael Jordan his entire career.
Right.
But LeBron may be not the only one who's chasing ghosts this summer, Matt. Derek Fisher posted workout videos with hashtag I'm not done yet.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw that this brought a flurry of interest on social media, of course. Tex Antoine tweeted, will he start boning coaches' ex-wives then?
Wow.
I thought that the Golden State Warriors actually might be a contender to sign Derek Fisher.
Yeah.
They seem to be going for any veteran that will take a minimum deal.
He's been there. He played there before, right? Yeah, he played
Warriors?
There. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I know one team he will definitely not go to, Matt. That is the Sacramento Kings, new home of Matt Barnes.
Oh, yeah. Although
rule that one out.
It would fit pretty well. I'd be down for both of them to be on the same team, but that team be the Kings.
That would be most entertaining. The Kings would turn into a reality show rather than a basketball team.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a case for that already.
Klay Thompson revealed that he may be the heaviest sleeper in the NBA. the news came out on the Vertical, Wojnarowski's website, about Clay's reaction when they found out they got Kevin Durant to sign with the Warriors. Quote, "I was sleeping, and my brother came to my room and woke me up to tell me that KD committed. I didn't believe it at first when he told me, so I had to check my phone and verify it. I was like, seriously? KD really chose us? It was an incredible moment for our organization. I was psyched. We had the final four of our team. And then I went back to sleep."
Hey, you know he got tuckered out by all those. He just got so excited. That was the only thing he could do. I like that. In my mind, he didn't even get out of bed to look at the, I guess he probably wouldn't. He just rolled over, looked at his phone, probably threw his hands in the air a few times.
There's a freeze frame.
Yeah. Next thing you know, it's 8 a.m. and he wondered where the night went.
Clay wasn't done giving quotes. People asked him, well, with the new superstar coming to the team, clearly there's going to be less shots. Everyone's going to have to change their game. People are going to have to make sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about this, Clay? Are you going to have to sacrifice your game? Clay's answer, "I feel kind of disrespected that people keep using the term sacrifice to describe me and describe us. We all want to see each other do well, but I'm not sacrificing shit because my game isn't changing. I'm still going to try and get buckets, hit shots, come off screens. I want to win and have fun every game we play."
Yes.
Clay's not sacrificing shit, Matt.
No, he's not. Why should he?
He's a spot-up shooter, so really his game isn't going to change. People throw him the ball when he's open.
Yeah.
He's going to shoot it.
Right.
That's his job.
Those are the type of games that can translate to any style, basically.
Right.
Basically. And why should he change? He has one more ring than Durant. Durant's the one coming to look for a ring. Clay's already been there.
Clay on motivation. Quote, "The NBA season can get mundane. 82 games are so long and there can be boredom. Now we can embrace being the hated team and getting everyone's best and adding some tension every night. It'll be a fun experience going into arenas on the road with opposing fans hating what we've built." So Clay looks forward to being hated. He's not sacrificing shit. And he's psyched that Kevin Durant's coming to the team, but he's going to catch a few more Z's before he gets out of bed about it.
Yeah. Let's hope he's not sleeping through the season there, Bob. Okay.
No, Clay wasn't the only Warrior in the news, though.
Oh.
Draymond Green, he's just got an addiction to crotch-related controversy.
Sure.
Is what I'm convinced of. He Snapchatted a picture of his penis this past week.
To America.
Said it was a mistake. He was trying to direct message it. How many different girls do you think Draymond said that was supposed to be a direct message for you?
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Right.
Well, in Snapchat, it is very clear of what you're posting for the world and what you're sending to individuals.
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
It's not a thing that you can easily mistake.
Is that right?
Yeah. I would imagine, well, it depends on how many women he sent it to, Bob. That's probably how many he told it was just supposed to go to them.
Yeah, after the penis photo came out, Dre was offered $100,000 from Vivid Entertainment to star in a porno of his choice. Well, the porno would be called Drezilla. That was the only detail that the CEO of Vivid insisted on. But otherwise, Draymond could pick his own women, his own positions, maybe even a storyline.
Yeah, the guy who just signed a $90 million contract is going to need... how much did he get?
100,000.
Yeah. I was gonna say he's not on that rookie contract.
But
anymore.
He gets to write the screenplay, man.
That's true.
That's priceless.
Yeah, maybe he'll get money, you know, residuals off that or something.
You know, the porn star Lisa Ann is a big basketball fan, and she takes players under their wings and teaches them about gold diggers and people poke holes in condoms and so on.
Yeah.
And it was said that she was mentoring, I don't know what you call it, one a unnamed Golden State Warrior last year.
Yeah.
Which is about as unnamed as, you know, the ghost from Chicago or something. Yeah. Just so clearly Draymond.
It was Ian Clark, Bob.
This past week, there was a fun interview with Dwayne Wade talking about his decision to go to Chicago.
Oh, that's the ghost from Chicago. It's all coming together.
Dwayne Wade's wife was also interviewed as part of this special on Uninterrupted. Gabrielle Union, you know, the from Bring It On acclaim.
Yeah.
She was quoted as saying, "I get incensed when he doesn't get back on defense and he's arguing a call.
Yeah.
It hurts me to the core. When we go to AAU with our boys and guess who's not back on defense arguing a call, I'm like, I wonder where they get that from.
Our kids don't play defense because of Dwayne Wade." I like that. I like that she's trying to keep him honest, of get back there, hustle and get back.
Yeah. I love the image of Dwayne Wade freaking out at an AAU game, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently, at halftime, he's the kind of guy who will go up to his kids and be like, "Don't listen to the coach. Meet me on the side. I've got the game plan for you guys." Yeah.
First of all, argue every call. Don't get back on defense. Wade, for his part, says that her advice is gibberish. Okay.
Yeah, he made fun of her saying that she always bragged about shooting 90% free throws. And he's just like, when you brag about that, that means you probably weren't good at everything else, you know?
Ooh, did you see a ninth grade teacher in Oklahoma City created a no Kevin Durant zone in his classroom?
No excuses.
Yeah, he said he didn't want any excuses. He wanted him to work hard. And he came up with the idea the day before school started. And that led to a big debate, and we'll have to monitor this situation.
Yeah, the point of it was you do your homework. You don't take the easy way out.
You don't take the easy way out.
Like KD.
Yeah.
He said, "Man, if I knew this was going to get national attention, I probably would have spent more than 10 minutes putting it together."
Yeah.
<you know?" laughs>
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing Durant said this past week, that it was really hard to leave Oklahoma for a variety of reasons, but one of the biggest ones was he didn't want to leave Steven Adams behind.
Mm-hmm.
He'd really grown accustomed and fond of the guy. It's probably just from watching him eat 7 meals per meal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be really entertaining and endearing.
He also had to say that because Steven Adams' 40,000 other brothers and sisters will come after him if he doesn't say it.
I thought you were going to say he's like pop Durant's head like the mountain. You know, Steven may not be playing in the Olympics this year, but his sister, Steven is the one youngest of 17 brothers and sisters.
Right.
And his sister is an Olympic gold medalist and is competing again in the 2016 Games, Valerie Adams. She is a shot putter in New Zealand.
Back-to-back Olympic champion.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a nice segue to a personal anecdote with Matt Baker.
And now it's time for a personal anecdote with Matt Baker.
You know, whenever the Olympics come on, and especially once those 3-foot-tall gymnasts start bouncing around, I think about the biggest Olympic crushes I've ever had.
Yeah.
A lot of them were centered around gymnasts growing up. I figured I'd ask Matt. It's a slow news week, so who was your biggest Olympic crush all time?
All time. Well, you texted me that your thought for mine would be Nancy Kerrigan, and I said, close, Tonya Harding. Wow. Well,
you like the feisty girls.
Yeah. They really work hard. This all came about, you told me that Dwight Howard's was Dominique Moceanu, right?
Right.
Yeah, she was our day of
96 Atlanta games.
Yeah, those were something. We were talking soccer the other day with me and friend of the show's Bjorn and Aaron,
because
they were the women's soccer started a few days before the opening ceremonies.
Right. That's weird.
For some reason. And Alex Morgan scored one of the goals, and I texted them. I said, "Alex Morgan, America's sweetheart," and that started a big debate.
She's cute.
On whether or not she was truly America's sweetheart. And to be honest, I do enjoy watching the women's soccer team, the national soccer team.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've provided, I'm not a huge soccer fan, but I like the international stuff. But yeah, I guess currently it would have to be Alex Morgan or Megan Rapinoe, another one of the soccer players.
Okay.
Rapinoe's the one on the wings who always kicks it in for headers. I've seen very few people who can kick a ball cross field with great accuracy like her. It's pretty impressive to watch.
That'll make you get a crush real quick.
Oh yeah, kicking those balls cross field.
You like Draymond too, don't you?
Yeah, it's all wrapping up. It's all coming back together. I was looking at the gymnastics team this morning because Gabby Douglas is back. Remember,
right.
She's the one. So know a few of them.
Yeah, I saw a picture of a gymnast who's 4'6" standing next to DeAndre Jordan. Came up to about his hip.
Yeah, the problem with the gymnasts of maybe picking them as a crush is they're fairly young, too. So you get...
Well, it's fine when you're 11.
Well, yeah, I mean, if we're looking back, I'm talking about currently.
Yeah. Even when they're 25, they look 11, you know.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Who can forget that Carrie Strug? That was a pretty...
Yeah, that was 96 as well.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Yo mama is so fat!
Our diss of the week was sent over by a friend of the show, Gustav.
Oh, wow.
This week.
Okay.
I wasn't aware, but Latrell Sprewell dyed his dreads blonde this past week.
I'm looking this up. I need to see this.
And there was a tweet from Reverend Malek Thomas, sorry if I mispronounce your name, that said, Latrell Sprewell looks like a black women's studies professor at a large state college.
Oh, man. He does. Have you seen a picture?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, yeah. No, that is a brilliant description.
On the next episode of Brick House.
Well, on the next episode, we might break down some more of our favorite basketball movies. You know, we got a lot of good response to the Brick House game show.
Yeah.
Particularly the NBA players on film. Some people started... you know, texting me, telling me that they're going to go back and watch some of the movies we were discussing in our game.
Is there any way to get paid out of that, Bob?
No, but if we're lucky, we could add Draymond's Drezilla to the list of basketball movies we enjoy.
Oh, man.
We'll break that down and more on the next episode of Brick House.